Just one word of announcement I forgot earlier is that this week on Thursday at 6:30, I'm going to begin a new members class. And so if you know anyone who's interested in a weekly Bible study at 6:30 to learn more about the Christian faith, and have them either give me a call or just come on Thursdays. This morning, our word for us, which will be the basis for our message as well, comes to us from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where we read, as Paul is saying, "And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." This is God's word for us today. Well, I suspect that if you grew up in the church, you were taught or told how important prayer is. And even if you don't have much of a religious background, there's probably a good chance this morning that you've heard about the benefits of prayer. If you need something, ask God for it. If you need guidance, well, ask God for it. If you're worried, well, pray about it. If you need strength, pray for it. But I suspect that you, like me, from time to time struggle with prayer because we never seem to get the results that we're looking for. You pray and you never seem to get an answer. You're frustrated because you hear people talking all the time about the power of prayer, as if somehow God is sitting at the breakfast table with you eating cornflakes, you know? And so sometimes it feels, though, that when you pray, you're sort of just kind of ringing a doorbell on an empty house. One of my colleagues tells a story about how one summer he got a job painting a neighbor's house. And so he showed up to start working, and the house next door to the one he was painting had a dog who always came to the back door and barked so someone would let him out. Well, this dog was barking and barking and barking and barking, and he barked all day because no one was home. There was no one there to let him out. He never got the message, if you will. And so I think that's a good a metaphor of how sometimes we feel about our prayers. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed for something, but there seems to be no answer. There doesn't seem to be anybody home. Maybe you have a heavy burden in your life and you've prayed about it. And you wonder if your prayers have just fallen on deaf ears. Maybe you've prayed for a troubled child, a sick relative, for a job, for a better marriage, or some other serious issue. But you don't seem to get an answer that you think you need. And then you wonder, is God really listening? And maybe you feel like, well, you're just not doing it right. And you think that if you go to the right church, or if you come to Faith Lutheran, God will hear you. No, I mean, if you go to the right church and you sing the right songs and you say the right words, then things are going to be different. Or maybe you're skeptical about prayer. Maybe you think that it's just wishful thinking or whistling in the dark. You might even think this whole idea of the creator of the universe listening to one of your prayers among millions and billions, that's really ridiculous. I mean, God has to listen to so many prayers. How does this work anyway? And does prayer make a difference? Or are we just wasting our breath? Well, I think so much of our frustration with prayer has to do with our lack of understanding of what prayer is. We have to understand what prayer is before we can know how it works. In other words, you need to have the right faith in order to get prayer right. And so let me begin by saying that prayer is not religious magic. You know, people often believe that, well, if they just say the right phrases or have the proper technique, they can persuade God to answer their prayers. There's an old story told about a monk who was bothered in his prayer room by all the mice that scurried around and disturbed his prayer. So he got himself a cat so that the cat would chase away all the mice and he would have all this wonderful quiet time to pray. Well, one day he was walking down the corridors of the monastery and he noticed that every other monk had a cat in their prayer room. Because you see, after seeing a cat with the monk, they thought that having a cat was the secret to having a powerful prayer life. And I kind of believe that's a parable for many of us today. Many people believe that they have to do something special in order for God to hear and to answer them. And you often hear about folks running around to learn the latest prayer gimmick from the latest self-proclaimed prayer guru. But you see, prayer is not rubbing a magic lamp. It's not, let's just have a quick prayer and get out of here. It's not presenting some Santa Claus in the sky with a wonderful list of things that we want. So what is prayer? I know that is a burning question because we've looked at it in several of the sermons recently. So how does prayer work? Well, Jesus knew about prayer. He knew the power of prayer and how it worked. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and there we begin to see how our Lord looked at prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, in Luke's gospel, there are 15 different references to Jesus praying. Jesus taught us about prayer by his own example. He prayed at every turn in his life. He prayed as he sensed God's call on his life. He prayed before he chose his disciples. He prayed as he served and healed. He prayed as he felt the demands and the pressures of his ministry. He prayed as he faced the cross. And he prayed as he finished his work on the cross. Jesus is continually praying. Prayer was as vital to Jesus as taking one's breath. And Jesus could not have accomplished what he did here on earth without the power of prayer. It was out of his consistent prayer life that Jesus taught us a powerful lesson. The disciples noticed Jesus. They noticed him praying frequently, and they felt this urge to ask, because they didn't have a clue. And so they come to him and they go, you know, Jesus, this praying thing, you always seem to be doing it. Will you teach us how to pray? They observed that prayer was a vital practice for Jesus, and they wanted to learn how to do it. And so what follows is a profound lesson from Jesus about prayer. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 11, and we want to begin reading there at verse 5. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now notice, this is not a lesson on the right technique. It was not a lesson about the right phrasing. It's not even a lesson on how we are to persuade God. It was a lesson in persistence. You know, through sharing the story of the man banging on the door all night, Jesus was telling us that effective prayer is consistent prayer. Effective prayer is a continued connection to God. For prayer then to become or make a difference, it must become a habit. And when God or conversation with God becomes a habit, then we will be rewarded. You know, take a look at the next two verses. "So I ask, I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You know what this means? This means that God always answers our prayers. Whenever we ask, God will answer. Whenever we search, we will find. Whenever we knock, God will open the door. And Jesus says that's true for everyone. Everyone who seeks God persistently in prayer will receive an answer. This, in a sense, is a spiritual law. God answers prayer. But notice what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say that everyone who asks receives the answer that she wants, finds what they are looking for, or has the door open for them. You see, God always answers us, but we may not always like the answers or expect the ones that we receive. You see, effective prayer is not what we can get from God, but what we receive from God. There's a big difference. Oftentimes, what we want from God and what we receive from God are two entirely different things. And I would suspect that that might change your understanding of unanswered prayers. Maybe God has answered you. You just don't like the answer. Someone once said that God answers prayer in four ways. Yes, no, wait, and are you crazy? You got to be kidding. You know, I can remember times in my life when I prayed to God for something to give me, and yet my prayers were never answered, or at least I thought so. But what I discovered that what I had wanted was not right for me. I tell the story. I was probably 11, maybe 12. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for a BB gun. God had a lot of wisdom in not granting me my wish for something else a friend of mine and I did with BB guns, but that's something else. But there have been times when God seemed to know that I wasn't yet ready. I wasn't prepared for the answer that he was going to give. The timing was not right. God asked me to wait. But Jesus clearly states that there is something that we can always count on receiving from God when we pray. From Luke chapter 11, from verse 11 to 13. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If then you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know, I want to say that this may be the most important single passage about prayer. Jesus says that whatever we seek from God in prayer, God will always give us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to love us, to mold us, to shape us, to guide us, to empower us, to direct us. You see, this means that prayer is not putting our order into God for protein wrap and extra fries. Prayer is not getting our phrasing right so that somehow we get to unlock God's prayer machine. Prayer is intimate conversation with God. It's as natural as turning around and greeting your friend. It's also about being quiet and still and listening to God and then being transformed by Him. You see, prayer is a conversation with God that brings us closer to God and allows us to be formed by His love. Prayer is intimacy with God. So here's how prayer works. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us. Prayer does not give us what we want from God. Prayer helps us want what we need from God. I think that's what Paul had in mind in our reading for today. He said, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. Those are some of the most profound words in the New Testament. It reminds me of the old phrase that prayer is not bending God's will to our will, but it's bending our will to God's will. When I was a child, my father used to take the summer pulpit at Lake Tahoe, which meant we always got to spend a week or two at Lake Tahoe, and I always loved to take a rowboat and go out on the lake. And one day I was out rowing and I was on my way back, and I lost one of the oars, and it just started to float away, and I couldn't reach it. So now I don't know how I'm going to get back on shore, and I probably was yelling or something, but there was a man standing on the dock, and he had a rope, and he tossed the rope to me, and he tied the rope around one of the posts on the dock, and then he said that I was to pull myself in, and I kind of thought, you know, this was not his first rodeo. Obviously, I wasn't the only person that ever had done this. He'd done this before. But as I was pulling the rope, there was an optical illusion. It looked like I was pulling the dock toward me. But what I was really doing was pulling myself toward the dock. That's what persistent prayer is. It does not move God to us, but it pulls us closer to God. And as we move closer to God in prayer, we find that we're changed by His love and by His power. Because you see, prayer does not change God. It changes us. You know, we forget that so often. We kind of pray, well, you know, God, I don't need much of your time, you know. You don't need to get too involved. Just give me a little direction here, you know. What should I do? And God says, you know, why don't you just come, Richard, and hang out with me for a while and see what I might have to say. But, you know, I get impatient and I go, Lord, I really don't want to bother you. I know you got a lot to listen to. And just give me a yes or a no answer. That's all I want. Just make it simple. And then God says, why don't you abide in me and my love from day to day? And you will find what you're looking for. You see, God still wants us to bring him our needs and our desires and our questions, even our doubts. But God wants more than that. God wants us. God wants a relationship with us. And so when I make prayer a habit, something happens on the inside of me. I become more sensitive to God's love in my life. And my motives and my desires begin to change. For me, prayer allows the power and the wisdom of God to break in. And I become transformed by God's love. So if you want to experience the power of prayer, I have a simple suggestion. And I believe if you do what I'm about to tell you, you will receive an experience that will make a difference, and prayer will make a difference in your life. So I want you for the next 7 days to start your day with prayer. And I'm not going to give you a test next week. So don't not come to church next week because you're afraid I'm going to ask you if you did it or not. But begin your day with prayer. And it doesn't need to be a long time. 5, 10 minutes. You can even stay in your bed with your comfy blanket around you. Or you can sit in a chair, or you can do it at the breakfast table. And find maybe a little devotion booklet, or look at your favorite passages of scripture, and you read those passages, and then after you've read them, when you find that you're quiet on the inside, then pray, Lord, I want to get to know you better. I want to know your love. I want a relationship with you. And then share with God what is on your mind and heart. You know, you don't have to hold back. Just share your thoughts with him. He's listening. He wants to hear from you. Because prayer is simply that conversation with God. And be sure to include not only your own needs, but the needs of others. And then take a moment to listen in your heart to God. And then write down what you sense God is saying to you. And before you end your prayer time, pray, Lord, I want to please you today. I want to do your will. Whatever it is you want, that is what I want too. I want to fit into your plans, and show me the way today. There's a wonderful old story told about this church that in the middle of the service, the organ broke. And the church just happened to have an organ repairman in the congregation. And so he quickly went back and found out that it was just a simple little electrical problem. And so when he finally, though, got it fixed, they were in the middle of the sermon. And so he quietly snuck up to the organist and handed him a little note which said, after prayer, the power will be on. And isn't that true? After prayer, the power will be on in your life, because God always is waiting to hear from you. So let us do just that. Gracious Father, we sometimes are hesitant to come to you because we don't maybe know what to say or how to say it. Maybe we think we're not as important to have our prayers come to you, but you've told us that whenever we ask, whenever we seek, you will open those doors for us, that you will hear our prayers. And so each week we're bold to come to you with prayers for those we love and care about. But we also come to you for ourselves, for those things that we need. So give us hearts that seek your wisdom. Give us hearts that look to change our will to be more like your will. Help us as we pull ourselves closer to you and as we continue this conversation in prayer with you. We ask you to continue to bless our prayers, bless our congregation, bless the words that each of us speak this week, that your grace and your power might be switched on in our lives and in our hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.